Welcome back to the Greg Vogue and John Burton Show, live from the Goggin Gold Hall Studios.
And now, ladies and gentlemen,
who wants to party?
Not on the radio.
Hold on to your hat.
They're a bunch of drama queens that spend an hour talking and 20 minutes jumping around while close up.
This is the Greg Vogue and John Burton Show, brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel, 5th Avenue, downtown.
Hold it!
Call now at 844-5600.
We are created to serve a singular purpose for which we will go to any length to fulfill.
Now, here are your hosts, Greg Vogue and News Channel 5's John Burton.
It is hour number two, the Greg Pope John Burton Show, presented by Omni Nashville Hotel. Adam Johnson back at the Gold Goggin Cold Hall Studios, and right here, Crazy Charlie, John Burton, Greg Pope, and Tom Hodges at Goggin Cold Hall. Morning, Tom.
Good morning, man.
How you doing, man?
Doing great. How are you guys?
Good. John's maiden voyage.
That's right.
Here. Yeah, it's great to be here. This is a beautiful facility. It's huge. I walked up here. I was like, man, this place is big.
Have you seen, we're in the administrative end, though, right? Have you seen the warehouse?
No, I haven't because I was a little tardy getting here.
Well, that's fine.
Thankfully, I picked the right door. So I'm planning to take the grand tour once we get off the air at 11 o'clock.
You still beat Joe every time, okay? Yeah. So there's actually an 18-hole golf course in the warehouse.
Nice. Got some video games set up there and
stuff?
Well,
if that were the case, production would not be near as fruitful as it would need to be, nor naming rights for studios would not be.
Adam's back at studio. That perked tears. Yeah. That perked tears his ears up.
Yeah, yeah. So no golf courses, but no. probably they'd have space to do so. About 300,000 square feet back there.
Yeah. Wow. Well, we just want you to keep it at the bare minimum and save your money for how much money you spend with us, right? Fried Chicken Friday. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. So Fried Chicken Friday, last Friday of every month.
Right.
And so just through a series of unfortunate or fortunate events, however you look at it, we haven't had for 2 months. Mm-hmm. We've been off just in various places. So it's back. It's revived. So we're back.
Well,
so.
one of those, you were in Africa.
Right.
Okay. Right. It hurt that you couldn't get back in time and commute back down to Sierra Leone.
Yeah. Logistics didn't quite work out. So last Friday of every month, we opened it up for all our warehousing and cold haul employees. And anybody else that wants to stop by, come hang out. Thankful enough to have you guys out. It's always great. And just enjoy the last Friday of the month. Always something everybody circles.
Well, I just think it's so cool that, the way you reach out to the community.
Yeah.
And say, come on out. Have some food. Meet us. We want to meet you. And, just come hang out for a couple hours and eat some food.
Absolutely.
Who doesn't want to do that, right?
You accept stragglers too, right? Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. That's much more our crowd. We get described as stragglers more times than not. So yeah, absolutely. Anybody is welcome. Free of charge. Come by, see us, hang out. Always want to be the city on the hill, a light to the community.
Well, and of course, Coach Tom Hodges on Twitter, he's going to be our weekly guest all the way through March Madness talking college basketball, usually on Thursday, but we thought, heck, we're going to be here. Let's spend more time here.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to start with it nationally. I don't know who the top four seeds are. I don't know who the top four seeds in each region are right now. Have you ever seen it this wide open, so deep? Because you can make a case for 15 to 20 teams as Final Four caliber.
No doubt. Not only has it been this wide open, it's been this wide open with non-traditional power. So your blue bloods are not necessarily just kind of rearranged at the top. You've got some new mid-major or non-power five teams at the top, and I think that's making everybody nervous right now, especially in the sports books. You see numbers jumping all over the place, but It's just very interesting to see the landscape with a lot of meaningful games and just 2 weeks left before a real tournament play week in some cases gets going. So you got some meaningful games, some net quadrant games and opportunities ahead for some teams to increase their standing or decrease their standing.
Yeah, and we were talking about this, I think, the last time we had you on, because I was in this football, malaise with the Titans all the way through the AFC Championship. And when I finally emerged from that, I looked at the standings. I was like, wait, Baylor's number one? I was like, did Kim Mulkey switch over and coach the men's team? The women's coach who's won, multiple national championships there. Not used to seeing Baylor at the top. Like you said, the blue bloods that we're normally used to, Kansas, Duke, North Carolina was having a horrible year. Some of these top teams that we're used to seeing, I think it's good for the sport. You know what I mean? Because, I listen to guys like, Colin Cowherd who says, no, I don't want underdogs. I want the blue bloods. I want the top teams. Yeah, I get it. We want that. We want Kentucky. We want Kansas. We want Duke, North Carolina. But we also want Baylor, San Diego State. Why not, right?
Absolutely. Especially they're just such great storylines. Going now, you don't have to really wait until March. Mm-hmm. Right now, who knew a San Diego State and UNLV game would be the lead in SportsCenter, right? That's
not since Larry Johnson and Stacey Augmon and those guys left UNLV.
Yeah. But you've got a Malachi Flynn at San Diego State that's a legitimate lottery pick. Obi Toppin at Dayton is must see TV. Mm-hmm. If he's on TV, I will stop everything to see that guy because he's a Maurice Stoudemire 2.0 and better. With college basketball and the expansion and just kind of this generation, there's so many different styles and there's so many different ways to win games now that it's fascinating to watch from conference races to the national scene. You just see so many different styles and so many different ways to move up those rankings.
615-844-5600. You want to talk some college basketball, NBA basketball as well. Basketball right here, high school as well. Tom Hodges, Coach Tom Hodges on Twitter. The one constant, and I know Baylor and whatever you want to think about that, but it looks like Kansas is that one constant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They would, if you just pressed me in a corner right now, they would be my pick.
Yeah.
They check all the boxes. Although the Kansas Baylor game from the previous matchup, I think probably Baylor shot it a little bit a tick under of what they have historically done this year. Kansas has a lot to do with that. I think they both defend at a very high level. I think the difference is Agabuke inside. Kid leads college basketball with 93 dunks this year. So, I think he's the X factor, their interior play down the stretch. But certainly the Big 12 coming down the stretch is going to be fun to watch as they kind of try to close it out. Baylor's last three games at TCU, Texas Tech at home, then at West Virginia, Kansas last three at K-State, which – of course had the brawl, so that's a return a little bit there, so that'll be interesting to see how all that's handled. TCU at home at Texas Tech, so you kind of grade that out. I think they both probably win out and are destined for a showdown at the Big 12 tournament.
I'm just looking at the top 20 teams in the NCAA men's basketball net rankings. That's what they say they go by now instead of the new RPI.
Yeah.
And these are non-power fives. Gonzaga at three, Dayton at four, San Diego State at five. I'm counting Big East as non-power five, okay?
It breaks my heart to hear you say having grown up just outside of Syracuse, New York, in the 80s watching Big East basketball.
Well, when you've got a team from where is Creighton? Omaha, Nebraska. In the Big East.
I know.
All right.
No, I'm agreeing with you. I'm just heartbroken about it. That's all.
Creighton, and okay, Villanova, which I consider a power school. Okay, yeah. We know what's going on there. But BYU is at 14. You got Seton Hall at 15, and just on through Butler. I mean, the Big East has got like seven of the top 25, something like that.
Right now, they're projected to have seven teams in the tournament. You know,
wow,
and it's pretty amazing. Just the quality, Seton Hall. You know, Seton Hall has had a really kind of a resurrection year this year out of nowhere. They're a great storyline, and they're another team that does it a little bit differently with pace and space. So the American Conference, they've got three projected in. The West Coast Conference has got three projected into the tournament. So this is going to be a exciting next 6 weeks.
At this point, we'd have to say probably no go for Tennessee.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought the loss the other day at Auburn, you know, that was their chance to really get back into – why are you staring at me?
How many turnovers?
Oh, 24 turnovers. Okay,
it's been a bit all week.
They had 20. I've been harping on the fact that Tennessee had 24 turnovers in the Auburn game and blew that 17-point lead. What do you think when you look back at Tennessee's season? Just too many injuries, too much inconsistent play. Plus, you know, they lose those three guys, man. You know, Bone Williams and Schofield. I mean, that's tough to replace.
Oh, no, there's no doubt about it. You start losing not only their production but their senior leadership. It's so invaluable. So credit to Coach Barnes for keeping it in the conversation for this long.
Yeah.
But certainly they've had opportunities and have just not been able to close. What you touched on is exactly their Achilles heel, the turnover bug. You know, you're up 17 and you give up an 18-0 run before you call a timeout. So, you know, as a coach, I've been there. You know,
I was going to ask you, Coach Barnes was pretty upfront about it. He said, "I just didn't think a timeout was going to do us any good."
Exactly.
I mean, and you've been there before. Yeah. I mean, is it just a gut feeling?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Those things, because right before we were just up 17, you know, so you kind of got that gambler's mentality of the next right. possession wins right. it for us. The next possession gets us off the slide. So, and the team that he has, and Vescovi, I think, has been a godsend for them. Mm. If they don't have him, who knows where the ball's going and how it's getting there. But I think they'll certainly start trending up. But this year, you know, I don't – at this point, they're a 70 net, 15 and 13.
So they've dropped. They were like mid-60s, right, for most of the season?
I think they closed with Florida, Kentucky, and Auburn.
Yeah. So the optimist would say you've got quadrant one opportunities. The pessimist would say
– NIT.
If you're lucky. So, yeah, certainly I think right now – best case scenario for them is NIT, and that probably involves a couple wins in the SEC tournament.
Wow. Just with the net, SEC. So I've been hearing four is the number. Kentucky 18, Auburn 27, Florida 32, LSU 33. Those four are locks.
Yes.
All right. Then Alabama at 39, Arkansas at 41. Either one of those two, they're both on the bubble out, right? Right now,
I think they're out, and they're firmly out. I'm not very bullish on them just because they don't win a lot. So teams that tend to lose, I just don't like in this time of year. Now they've got opportunities. So South Carolina's at Alabama on Saturday. So that's kind of a tournament game per se. Mississippi State's at South Carolina on Tuesday. LSU is at Arkansas next Wednesday. So there are some ramification games, and especially quadrant games for those teams to move up. What I've always kind of looked at this time of year is just simple winning points, if you win a quadrant one game, you accumulate points. If you lose a quadrant one game, and that's and right down the line. So, for instance, right now Mississippi State would be at 22.5 winning points. Arkansas's at 22.5 winning points. South Carolina's at 8. To put that in perspective, Baylor's at 68.
But if you look at Arkansas, when Mason Jones goes out,
yeah,
they go on the skid.
Sure.
And of course, he comes back, has 37 against UT the other night. Yeah. Should they take that into consideration? Because now you're back at full strength, and he's one of the best players in the country.
Yeah.
Big time scorer.
Yeah.
And they're there on the bubble.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's one of their parameters are injuries. When I was coaching, when I was a head coach, they have committees, so regional committees, and each conference has a representative. And you get on a conference call once a week and you say, if I'm from the SEC, I run down every team, I run down notable injuries and their last results from last week and their impact to those injuries. So that will certainly come into effect. If they can finish strong, I think Arkansas in that group has a chance to punch upward a little bit. But Mississippi State's the one that I think could fall by the wayside. But I think Arkansas, Alabama worries me a little bit just because of the double-figure losses. And South Carolina, you know, it's going to be the SEC is the most confounding conference because they've got four firmly on the bubble that could really go either way in this. And you couple that with the Big Ten that's projected to have 10 in right now.
At least.
So,
yeah,
you know, and those guys are about to start playing each other. You've got a surging Virginia coming into the ACC. You've got West Virginia that's free falling right now. They've lost 5 out of their last 6. So it's fascinating right now in college basketball.
Where are you at with Auburn? Because a lot of people are saying that, you know, there's been a lot of luck involved. You know, they've won some close games. They've had some, you know, some calls go in their favor that could have went either way. Bruce Pearl even said it earlier in the year, like, hey, maybe we're not as good as our record indicates. Where are you at with Auburn?
Yeah, I like Auburn. Okay. I like Auburn just because they play with energy.
Yeah.
And their energy this time of year is dangerous. You're either on the right side of it or the wrong side of it. And the one thing that they always bring, you know, is that energy, and a lot of that comes from Coach Burrow.
They are fun to watch,
they
man.
Are. And, you know, they have a bounce-back ability of when bad stuff happens, they kind of can keep rolling and keep flying through that. And I think that's why the ball tends to bounce their way in a lot of those games, the Tennessee game being that. So teams that win a lot and have shown an ability to overcome adversity within the course of 40 minutes are ones that I really pay attention to this time of year.
They play not afraid to lose.
Yeah, and absolutely. That's a great way to put it.
They're very, you know, loose. They really are.
Yeah.
And even in the biggest moments, they play loose. And obviously that's a reflection of, I think, of Bruce Pearl. There's nothing loose about him. except maybe his dry cleaning bill.
I was going to say, his collar's a little loose, or it needs to be.
We're going to take a break. Jeff in the Borough, you hold right through this break. We'll get to you first. Anybody else want to talk a little college basketball or NBA? We'll do it right with Coach Tom Hodges. Follow him on Twitter at Coach Tom Hodges. Give us a call, 615-844-5600.
The Klein Preston Law Group in Nashville, a proud supporter of the Atlanta Braves and Southeastern Conference, has over 2 decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. Their practice focuses primarily on business law, including business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Preston Law Group has represented clients from state and federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee to the United States Supreme Court. For more information, go to their website, Klein with a K, PrestonLaw.com.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
I want you to listen to what is a very important message from my friends at Shield Law Group and my buddy Bill Kaloudis. Your credit report is really important. What if you've been the victim of identity theft, or you have an item on your credit that doesn't even belong to you, or you've been turned down for a mortgage, credit card, car loan, rental, housing, job, or insurance? Okay, you get the picture. The credit report is vital. You need it to be the very best it can be. And for a lot of us, we don't even know what our score is. So that's why I bring on ShieldLawGroup.com, my friend Bill Kaloudis, and his phone number, 615-742-8020. You know what? It might be the most important phone call you make all day. ShieldLawGroup.com and my friend Bill Kaloudis.
Were you scammed into signing a timeshare contract? And did you miss the part that said you have to pay for your great idea? Not only for the rest of your life, but when you're not here anymore, you get to pass this turkey onto your family for them to pay for the rest of their lives. Thanks, Dad. Don't burden your family down the road, and don't be stuck with expensive timeshare payments forever. Get out of your bad idea timeshare contract guaranteed or pay nothing. Call Resort Release today and learn for free how their timeshare exit team can help you legally exit your timeshare contract. They've helped thousands of people, and they're A-plus rated with a BBB. So if you feel scammed, get mad, and get out of your expensive timeshare contract right now, guaranteed. Call N-O-W.
800-898-0816. 800-898-0816. 800-898-0816. That's 800-898-0816.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for today: a slight chance of rain showers, mix of sun and clouds, high upper 40s with west winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. 40% chance of rain snow mix tonight, ending by midnight, low 30, sunny for tomorrow, high 50. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's TJ Matthews.
Sports Radio WNSR.
The Greg Pogue and John Burton Show. Proof that someone here at the radio station has horrible decision-making skills.
I guess we resemble that remark, huh? Adam Johnson back at the Goggin Cold Hall Studios. We are at Goggin Cold Hall in Smyrna. Fried Chicken Friday, John Burton, Crazy Charlie, Greg Polk, and Coach Tom Hodges. That's how you can follow him on Twitter, at Coach Tom Hodges. And
did I mention I follow him? I follow you, Coach.
Absolutely. Wow. That was a big-time day for me.
Red letter day, huh?
Oh, man. There may or may not been noise emanated from my office. Wow. When I got a John Burton follow, man. better than I can ever say from your predecessor. So big ups.
There, the
big
shot.
Ups. Big ups to you, Coach. It's a pleasure.
Hey, by the way, usually he's going to be joining us every Thursday morning at 10:25, talk college basketball. You two guys will be doing it next week, just you two. I will either be remaining in Evansville to call the second round game, the quarterfinal round game, because TSU, as the fifth seed, will play Wednesday night at 6:30. They'll play the eighth seed, and then they win that game. They play at 6:30 against the four seed, Eastern Kentucky. So I think if you win, you'd rather play Eastern Kentucky than Belmont, Murray, or Austin Peay. So that's where we are going into this last weekend. Let's get a call or two. 615-844-5600 down in the borough. Jeff, good morning.
What's going on, guys? I just wanted to ask Mr. Hodges, Coach, do you think if the Lady Raiders get to 20 wins, they'll get to a tournament? I think the only way they can go to the NCAA tournament is to win the conference tournament. Could be pretty rough with Rice and Old Dominion up there at the top on the women's side. And I don't know how you guys feel about this. I think the SEC is kind of down this year. I think Kentucky and Auburn are really good. LSU's pretty good. They've got 9 losses. Everybody else has 10 or more losses. I don't worry too much about the net stuff, but I think Kentucky and Auburn are definitely in. I guess LSU is too. But Florida, I'd say Florida, we should be on the bubble right now. They've got 10 or more losses, and they've still got to play, you know, Tennessee and Kentucky one more time, and then the SEC tournament. So I don't know how you guys feel about that, but I think the Big East and the Big Ten and a lot of other conferences are a lot better than the SEC this year. That's how it usually is in basketball. But I'll just hang out and listen and enjoy the show, guys. Have a great weekend. See you.
All right.
Good morning, Jeffrey. Good to hear from you. Certainly, talking Conference USA women's basketball, I would say it's going to be a one-bid league this year. Even with Rice, got a pretty strong RPI on the women's side. But Old Dominion surging, I think they're at the top of the league right now. Middle Tennessee's got a game against Western Kentucky on Saturday, and that's a big game for them with seedings on the line and a top four seed and possible buying their conference tournament. So that'll be a one bid league and probably a double figure seed in the NCAA tournament, whoever secures that. As far as the SEC goes, I think, like we said before, Kentucky, Auburn, LSU, Florida are firmly in. They've all got nets of 30 or better, so that's a single digit seed line. The bubble in the SEC is the more intriguing race, so that's probably where all the attention will go, barring a just collapse of really Florida or LSU. I could see LSU dropping some games here late that they shouldn't drop, or winning some games down the stretch and making a run in the conference tournament. That's the only real adjustments I could see in that league.
Young team for Rick Ensel. I know we had him on Wednesday. He's only got one senior on the team, and had some players that possibly could have put him at another level. Didn't work out as well. Probably about where they should be with this young team, you think?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I mean, this is by far the smallest team he's ever had. Maybe the quickest team he's had in a while, but certainly had to adjust on the fly. You don't back into seven Halls of Fame, so it's a walking miracle that they're in that conversation, and they've really adjusted well to some cards that they've been dealt and some of the things that have happened to them.
How about the job Kelly Harper has done year one with the Lady Vols? It's always tough to be the person that replaces the person, but she's the person that replaced the person that replaced the person.
Right.
You know, things didn't work out for Holly, unfortunately, and they bring back Kelly Harper. How about the job she's done year one in Knoxville?
You know, I watched them last night and watched them play against Ole Miss. Ole Miss is, you know, winless in the SEC. And the thing that strikes me, and I like Kelly, I've known Kelly and John Harper for a long, long time. I don't know what they're good at. They win the games they should win, which is an improvement from the Holly Warlick era. Holly would win kind of these out of the nowhere games against top 10 teams, then lose games that you should never lose. And then this team has won every game that it should have won and has lost every game statistically that you would say they should lose. It's an incredibly soft bubble year on the women's side.
Okay.
So if they just went out, which they should, and then, you know, get one additional win in the SEC tournament, I think they're in. They're a double-digit seed, probably a 10 or 11, which is very difficult. They have the talent. I just don't know, when I watch them play, what's their identity. And you're in February and you don't know your identity, that's sometimes a recipe for trouble.
But can you imagine – sorry, Greg, not to cut you off, but can you imagine living in a world where the Tennessee Lady Vols are not in the NCAA Women's Tournament? I mean, that's unthinkable.
Yeah, it's unfortunately, it's become more and more of a reality, and I came through at the time there was nothing like it. My coaching career in 18 years of walking into Thompson Bowling Arena – and it'd be a lot of people, but when Pat Summitt walked onto that court, brother, there wasn't an ovation I've ever heard louder. I've seen the Rolling Stones, but when they were rolling and we played those Candace Parker, Alexis Hornbuckle team, national championship teams at Thompson Bowling, and she walked in, see ya. Good night, Irene.
Hey, you knew you were beat. Or-
hey, come on. Come on. The ball stayed on their end. It was a three-point game with about 6 minutes to go. The ball stayed on their end for about the next 30 minutes. We didn't even see it because they shot so many doggone free throws. Pat called a timeout one time, and Rick looked at me and said, we're in trouble. And I said, what do you mean? And Pat wasn't even in her huddle. She was just staring at the officials. Wasn't saying anything. She was just staring at the officials. And I said, oh, boy, this is
you. And that was one heck of a stare, man.
Yeah, oh, man.
That, she could melt steel with that stare.
It was the real deal.
God rest her soul, man. God,
hey, she impacted a lot of people. But, you know, Tennessee is a brand. In women's basketball, they're a brand. In men's basketball, they're a brand. Certainly it's a that shines a little diminished, but they can still attract top talent, as evidence of their roster. They're humongous. They're the tallest team in Tennessee history. So they're one of those teams that you want them to be really good, but then they just haven't taken that step yet. I know Kelly is working at it. And they've got, I'd say she's working probably harder in her locker room than they are on the floor.
Right.
That would be
kind of changing
guess.
The culture because things got a little, the last half of last year under Holly, things got a little bit off track, no?
Cronky. Yeah. They got cronky.
Yeah.
But now, though, and not to take anything, obviously, with what Pat Summitt did, but the SEC is totally different now within women's basketball. You can go Texas A&M, Mississippi State, LSU, South Carolina, and these are all national championship caliber programs.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of that is thanks to Pat. You know, Pat made it a priority. At one point, Pat had hired every coach in the SEC, save for Andy Landers at Georgia. You know, whenever you wanted a coach, you called Pat. And it's who, so she literally recommended who she was going to play against. And with the advent of Title IX and resources being poured into college athletics, people just all of a sudden saw opportunity in women's basketball for competitive balance. And you see it at South Carolina. They've led the nation in attendance like the last 5 years with Dawn Staley. So Mississippi State with Vic Schaefer, you know, he was on Gary Blair's staff for years, and they won a national championship. He goes to Mississippi State that was a doormat. All of a sudden recruits pretty well, and now they're in the conversation. So SEC women's basketball is still at the top. They're very top-heavy this year, about seven of the top teams, and the bottom seven are just really bad. So this is a unique year for them, but certainly this is going to be a fun year, fun tournament on both sides because you just don't have those name brands that are there year in, year out on both sides, men's and women's basketball.
I'm taking a snapshot of the RPI. The RPI is still what the women use for their seedings or however they figure all of that stuff out. From 51 to 59. Okay, that's bubble, right? 51 to 59.
Right.
Belmont, 51. UT Martin, Kevin McMillan. Did you work with Kevin?
He
was on Rick's staff at the same time, right?
Great friend of mine.
Yeah. He's done he's the dean of women's coaches in the OVC and going to win the OVC regular season championship, it looks like. But UT Martin is at 55, MTSU, 57. And Tennessee, 59.
Yeah.
So Belmont, UT Martin, MTSU, and Tennessee, four of those 10 slots, 51 to 59, or nine slots.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, MTSU has some tremendous non-conference wins. They beat TCU at home, and TCU's in the top four in the Big 12 right now, and they're in the top 25. So,
19 RPI.
For I mean, they're – that's a tremendous non-conference win for them. And then Belmont with Bart Brooks has continued to stay at or near the top of the conference, especially you graduate Darby Maggard, who's all everything at Belmont, and still remains at the top. And Kevin McMillan, the Wizard, as we used to call him, the Wizard. We never bet against the Wizard because he's always cooking something up and scheming something. So, going to be a fun year, fun finish to a fun year of basketball down the stretch.
Just looking at Conference USA, though, and it's getting top-heavy again. You always think Middle's going to be there. Mm-hmm. Western Kentucky right now, and it's RPI's 31. Old Dominion is at 25. And
yeah.
Boy, that harkens Old Dominion.
Yeah.
What, Ann Donovan?
Oh, yeah.
Back in the 80s, the mid-80s?
Yeah.
That was,
yeah.
There was, what, Incarnate Word?
Oh, yeah.
And those were really the foundational sure. programs for women's basketball. Obviously, UT, Old Dominion, Louisiana Tech with Leon Barmore.
Yeah.
Those were the foundation, really.
Absolutely. Old Dominion, when you go to play at Old Dominion and you walk in, and they have a beautiful arena, but you walk in and you see all the history of women's basketball and the banners hanging up there. It's hard not to kind of take a pause to see that they won the last two AIAW championships in 80 and 81.
Which were the women's national championships.
Right. And then in 85, won it again. So there's a rich history. Nikki McCray. Mm-hmm. Former Collierville standout and Lady Vol at under Coach Summit. She's the head coach at Old Dominion and doing a tremendous job.
A rising star.
Oh man, I tell you what, in a short order. I think this is her third year, and saw them play at Middle this year, and they are athletic, long. They've got a really nice basketball team. And certainly capable of making a push. They beat Rice head-to-head at their place in overtime. So, a name to be on the lookout for on the women's side when some of those dominoes start falling.
615-844-5600. You want to give us a call? Coach Tom Hodges. You can follow him on Twitter. We are at Goggin Cold Hall. It is Fried Chicken Friday. You know what that means? We're 21 minutes away. from the show being over. We'll take a break. You want to give us a call? Please do. 615-844-5600.
Are you looking for the ideal destination for family fun? A place which combines the best of bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is the answer. Experience a great time with family, friends, and co-workers at Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. With 5 centers in Middle Tennessee, there's a location near you. Book your next party or event, from birthday parties to family reunions. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is also great for fundraising events and company parties as well. For more information, go online to strikeandsparebowling.com. Visit their locations in Donaldson Plaza, Murfreesboro, and the Tusculum area, as well as enjoying enhanced fun in Hendersonville and Hermitage, including bumper cars, Time Freak, and a laser maze. Hendersonville also has laser tag, roller skating, and an indoor bungee trampoline. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Working from home? Need a better place to meet clients than your dining room or the local coffee house? Cultivate Coworking has the solution for you. Centrally located in downtown Murfreesboro, Cultivate Coworking gives you a business address, a collaborative workspace to exchange ideas with other community members, and professional meeting rooms, plus free parking. Upgrade from the coffee shops. Cultivate Coworking plans starting at $25 a month on Lytle Street in the borough and online cultivatecoworking.com.
They've influenced music for 3 generations. Generations. Ride the rhythm of Cool in the Gang. Get down on it. Sunday, March 22nd at Skirmerhorn Symphony Center. Get ready to get funky with Cool in the Gang. Live on stage. Tickets are on sale now at NashvilleSymphony.org. Don't miss Cool in the Gang live.
And now American Veterans United Heating and Air is reminding Americans to show support to the brave and honorable men and women who serve our U.S. military. Their tireless effort should never go unnoticed. This message is courtesy of veteran-owned and operated AVU Heating and Air, a third-generation heating and cooling company. When it comes to the very best in residential heating and cooling, trust the name we trust, AVU Heating and Air. Giving 15% off to all veterans. Call 931-842-5392. That's 931-842-5392. Mention this ad for a discount. AVU Heating and Air.
Now exclusively at the Home Depot. Give your lawn a 1-2 punch with a bag of Scott's Turf Builder Triple Action and save 50% on a bag of Scott's Turf Builder Ultra Feed. Pick up both bags. Apply Triple Action now to knock out tough weeds and Ultra Feed 8 weeks later to green and feed all season. Two bags, one stronger, greener lawn. With a 1-2 punch of Scott's Turf Builder Triple Action and 50% on a bag of Scott's Turf Builder Ultra Feed. Now at the Home Depot, how doers get more done. While supplies last, selection varies by store.
This is the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show.
Scott, most important question you're going to get all day. Do you remember bumping into me at Whole Foods about 4 years ago?
What?
Do I remember 4 years ago at Whole Foods? You know, vividly.
Just say no. It's that fine.
You probably thought it was Derek Mason. That's why the Vanderbilt football coach.
Greg Pogue and News Channel 5's John Burton. WNSR. Nashville Sports Radio.
Where's the beef? Right here. It's John Burton on the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show.
I guess that makes me chop liver, right? I said it.
I didn't say that. You just said that.
Greg Pogue, John Burton Show, presented by Omni Nashville Hotel. Adam Johnson back at the Goggin Coldall Studios. Crazy Charlie here. And Coach Tom Hodges talking basketball. Obviously, not going to limit it to college basketball. Big NBA fan. You are. You follow the NBA.
Oh, can I ask one more college basketball question before
we
get into the NBA?
Sure.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. You know, the OVC, I think, is going to be really exciting, you know, with the tournament coming up. Probably only one bid out of that conference. Mm-hmm. You got all these good teams, man. And I don't know. My favorite player, I think, in all college basketball is Terry Taylor. I just love that guy. I just love what he brings. You know, he's very consistent. He's a 20-10 machine,
yep,
night in and night out. What are your thoughts on him, and does he have game to maybe make it to the next level?
I think so. He's fun to watch. Mm-hmm. You're right. You know, he's kind of a Swiss Army knife. He gets them in and out of a lot of possessions. A lot of bad possessions can go right if the ball finds his hands there at the end. And players like that in leagues like the Ohio Valley are valuable. Seen it happen too many times. So I don't know that he'd be drafted. But
he's a tweener.
Yeah, he's a tweener. I don't know that he'd be drafted.
What is he, about 6'5"?
Yeah, I think he's listed 6'6". He's probably 6'4.5".
Right.
He's got G League written all over him, mm-hmm, and could possibly, you know, make a little career for himself out of there and then get a two-way contract into the league. But he's one of those players for mid-major basketball that's fun to watch. He's kind of I would buy a ticket just to watch him play and that team specifically. And then you get some good matchups in the Valley, because there's a bunch of other guys kind of like that, mm-hmm, within the OVC. So it's going to be a fun tournament in Evansville. Can't wait to follow.
Who do you like coming out of there?
If you had
to guess, I'll put you on the spot. Who comes out of the OVC?
So if you look at it right now, of course, three-way tie at the top, Belmont, Murray, P. Belmont's at a 108 net. I think Belmont's probably trending up the most right now. They've won 9 in a row. Mm. They seem to be playing their best basketball. Like I said, I mean, you get a Murray. It's been there a lot. Murray, to me, passes the eye test the most.
Which could be a semifinal game, Belmont and Murray, in the winter, if chalk holds.
Sure.
I'm going to abstain from this because I totally expect TSU to be going to the NCAA tournament.
Absolutely. Obviously. Yeah.
But I want to give you a little stat on Terry Taylor. He's the only player in Division I to rank in the top 15 in scoring and rebounding.
Wow.
He's 10th in the country in scoring, and he's 11th in the country in rebounding. The only player, obviously, averages a double-double, and he's won more this year, more OVC Player of the Week awards than anybody, and he surpasses guy you might be familiar with, Kenneth Faried.
Kenneth Faried. That was going to be my guess if you hadn't said that, because I know Kenneth, when we were there, it seemed like it was just every Monday when it would come out. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you get him going, and who knows? And depending on how this – it's an incredible Saturday set up for Ohio Valley basketball because you got Murray and Peay playing each other for seemingly no matter what, a share of the regular season title, no matter what the seeds fall. So you like that. And then Belmont at TSU. TSU's got as talented a roster as anybody in the Ohio Valley Conference, and there's a lot – places I'd rather not be than the Gentry Center on Saturday night.
Well, yeah,
brother.
Last night they
I've
had
been
that,
there.
Yeah.
Belmont.
Tech had a shot at the buzzer to send that thing into overtime last night.
Dude airballed it.
Yeah.
So, you know, TSU and Coach Collins can certainly, them playing at home, I wouldn't just chalk that one up to Belmont by any stretch because I've been there on Saturday night and that thing – that place gets to rocking, and they get to playing some really good basketball. So it's going to be a really fun finish, and we'll set up. You know, if you're Murray State and Peay, you could go from first to third in the matter of a shot. So that's the fun and exciting
part. And you're first, then you're opposite both of those second and thirds, whoever that is.
Right.
And then Eastern Kentucky, the fourth, and I think we'd all agree of the top three seeds, whichever way it shakes out, Belmont, Austin Peay, Murray State. Eastern Kentucky is that inferior seed of the top four.
Yeah.
Not bad, but anyway, so I like TSU. They're going to play the eight seed. They know they're going to be the five, 6:30 Wednesday night, and then they win that game. They play Eastern Kentucky, the four seed, which, again, like I said, you'd rather play Eastern Kentucky than whichever one of those three teams gets the three seed.
Yeah, I was excited. I thought Eastern might be trending up 2 weeks ago, and now it looks like they might have taken a little bit of a turn toward them dropping the game last night. I was a little bit surprised by that. But, you know, I think things set up nicely for that whoever's coming out of that four line. Just depending. That, as a coach, it was always interesting because in some ways you wanted those buys and those are good, but inevitably the team that was coming off of playing a game would always play better in the first half.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like you cringed.
It takes the kids a while.
It does.
If they've been sitting around for a while or they've had a couple of days off.
Well, the double buys.
Get back into it.
Yeah.
I mean, the top two teams get a double bye to Friday semifinal.
I can tell you. So 1 year at Moorhead, we were the two, and we played a Jacksonville State team that had made it through on the seven line, I believe, and we were down 22 points as the two seed. In the first half, and it was just that. They had played. They felt good. Juice was pumping. They were in a little
playing
bit
with
of
house
rhythm.
Money.
Yeah.
You know,
and we came out, and it was like, holy smokes. We couldn't even get going. Now, luckily, you know, at halftime, some furniture was rearranged, and, you know, we got
– was it thrown?
We'll neither confirm nor deny.
Yeah, but some words were said that we can't repeat here on the FCC airwaves, right?
Yeah, there were some religious doctrines that were laid down, and the Lady Eagles came back and won that one. But I always, you know, we had buys at middle, and you just knew because you'd just been sitting there and had kind of been out of rhythm. So those double buys in the OVC are especially unique that you got to kind of figure out ways to keep your mojo and keep your juice going. So it'll be fun, be interesting to follow.
Well, the good thing is you only have to win one game to get to the championship game.
And that's a reward.
Yeah.
That's the big reward.
So you're 40 minutes away from going to the tournament.
But and I guess the example everyone uses with the OVC is when Dave Luce and that eight seed won four games in four nights, and they couldn't miss anything.
Yep.
It was almost like they didn't even have to look at the basket, just shoot it. It was going in.
Yeah.
By the way, Terry Taylor, a little funny story. I know we're up against the break, Adam. We'll get it right here. We did the remote at the OVC basketball media day. We've gone up there 3 years in a row for that. And Terry Taylor, the preseason player of the year, was there. He's from Bowling Green. Okay, so I went up to him and said, "Hey, you know, Terry, enjoy your play. I do the TSU games and everything, and I'm from Bowling Green." He goes, "Oh, okay." He said, "Then I go, I'm a dragon and you're a purple. and Warren Central Dragons bone
fighting
purple.
Words.
And yeah, and you know what he did? He just walked away.
Yeah.
He said, that's it. I don't need to talk to you anymore.
Yeah, all right. This conversation is over.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Let's do this. Let's take that last break.
Look, they're on the dashboard. What are you listening to? 560 WNSR, your sports authority on 95.9 FM.
Hey, this is George Plaster. I don't pretend to know everything about printing, but my buddy and former BGA classmate James Warren does, and he should. He's the owner of Sir Speedy Music City. Let's talk a little bit about mailing, because that's important.
It is, George. So a lot of people use mailing to get in front of customers, direct mail. We've got, at the end of the year, there's always the big mailers that go out for insurance companies and that sort of things. But we see that mail helps people get in front of their audience. You'd be surprised at how many people actually open an envelope or look at a postcard when it comes to their house. And we can do it cheaper than you can mail it.
And you can do it well. Give people the particulars, phone number, website.
We're at 615-832-9511. Our website is sirspeedymusiccity.com. You can reach us at print at sirspeedymusiccity.com.
And as always, when you go in there, you tell them Plaz sent you.
Looking for future leaders we can trust and believe in? Look no further than the high school student athletes right here in Tennessee. High school sports teach young people how to be effective leaders. It begins by making their grades and being on time for practice. It includes learning to listen, following directions, accepting responsibility, being a good role model. And it's about respect for officials, opponents, the rules, and each other. The result? It transcends sports. It gives us hope for the future. High school sports, there's so much more than just a game. This message presented by the Tennessee Secondary School Athletic Association and the Tennessee Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Southern hospitality with a modern twist. Kitchen Notes in the Omni Nashville Hotel offers a farm-to-fork experience for breakfast, lunch, supper, and Sunday brunch. Kitchen Notes uses the freshest ingredients to create great food in a casual dining atmosphere. Don't miss Nashville's only award-winning biscuit bar, serving up a house-crafted sweet, savory, buttermilk, and gluten-free biscuit every day. Try our award-winning patty melt or the grilled pimento cheese sandwich with a side of house-made Tennessee honey slaw, and dessert is always a must in our house. Whether it's in the main dining room or two of our private dining rooms, be sure to make Kitchen Notes part of your downtown Nashville experience. Check out Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville. For reservations, call 615-761-3700. Complimentary valet parking is always available.
Jim Rome is here weekdays 11 to 2 on Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR.
The SEC is for closers, and there's only one way to survive in the SEC, ABC. A, always, B, B, C, closing, always be closing.
A, B, C, A, always, B, B, C, closing, always be closing.
Jim Rome, 11 to 2 on Nashville's original sports radio, WNSR.
The Greg Pogue and John Burton Show. Call now. 615-844-5600 to be a part of whatever this is.
Got a few more moments and then we're 88 out the gate. Adios, Kazoos, from not the Gog and Cold Hall Studios, but Gog and Cold Hall. Tom Hodges, Coach Tom Hodges, our weekly basketball expert, will be joining us every Thursday at 10:25 all the way through March Madness with that. And it's pretty it's almost close, John, to Fried Chicken Friday.
Yeah, it is. pretty exciting stuff, man. George, waiting for this all week.
George, yeah. George Plaster at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Johnny
now,
Ballpark.
Hold on a minute.
He will have an abbreviated show as the Vanderbilt Baseball Commodores, 4:15, pregame, 4:30, the first pitch. 2 o'clock tomorrow and 1 o'clock Sunday, those first pitches. Hawaii comes here.
Oh.
Yeah, Hawaii's in town. Hawaii.
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 Mm-hmm. So, got that going on.
I would hope that would mean a return.
It is.
Didn't Corpse tell us that
yesterday? Oh, yeah, they're going out there, I think, in 2 years.
By the way, yesterday I actually knew about Corpse was going to get presented with the Hall of Fame announcement, and I had to bite a hole through my tongue yesterday morning when we were talking to him not to let the cat out of the bag because the Vanderbilt Athletic Department asked us not to, say anything. Yeah, so that was – so. I was just kind of chuckling the whole time, like he has no idea. Yeah. He's on out with us talking.
Sure, yeah.
You know, we're talking about this and that, and
With Corbs not having any idea what's coming. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Yep. I said he has no idea.
You know, playing Hawaii. That's one of the great Abe Lemons lines of all time when he called up the coach from Miami and said, "We'll do a home and home, both at your place." I might have that conversation.
Trust me, I used to live in Pittsburgh, and that's what Penn State would say to Pitt. Yeah.
Yeah,
we'll play a home and home, but they're both in Happy Valley.
Both at our place.
Yeah.
Crazy Charlie, great job here at the Gogg and Cold Hall Studios. Tom, thanks for having us, man.
Thank you, man. Always great to have
so
you.
So great
out.
To be here. It's great to finally meet you, Coach, and tour your beautiful facility here, and it's an honor and a privilege for me, man.
Yeah, thank
I follow
you
on Twitter, you know.
Hey, I know. It's it may or may not be pinned at the top of my timeline. It's a big day for McGregor.
You're gonna get the chicken, John. Okay, don't worry about
I'm
it.
Just making sure, yeah, Greg. Right. Just making sure.
Hey, everybody, we appreciate you listening again. Tom Hodges, Gogg and Cold Hall. Adam back in the Gogg and Cold Hall studios. Crazy Charlie here on site once again. Plaster 2-4. Johnny Ballpark for about 15 minutes before we kick it into Vanderbilt baseball with its weekend series against Hawaii. Hey, everybody, have a great weekend. Thank you for listening. Jim Rome is next.